What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Me and B are reunited, and it feels so good. Brian, how impressed are you by my hotel?
This is a hotel I expect to see on happy days. So this is like a Fonzie hotel.
It's trying. Hey. It's like brand new. It's like trying to be trendy.
They kind of, I don't know.
You want to play the guitar? My room came with a guitar.
Landfill. The hallway, they have gray, pink, and some other color, like psychedelic carpet. It is weird, dude.
It's what we're into.
Send me a picture.
take a picture for the
lobby. Wanted to do a video at first, but I said, let me just get it in this room first, because, you know, it kind of make you feel like you're about to be attacked.
It's an interesting vibe.
I walked into the lobby. And the actual check-in desk is the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're going for.
She's like, can I help you? I say, I'm going to 420. You need anything? Nah, not this early.
I haven't even told Jeff.
Room number is 420?
Sure.
Yes.
Is.
Yes.
And, dude, so yesterday was a long day. And it was
Lord.
We got a lot done. We got a lot done, and it was a good, like, work day. But it was a long day, and then I went and got a bite to eat, and I finally get back to the hotel room at, like, 9 o'clock last night, and I just want to, like, sit down and kind of zone out and watch some TV. And I turn the TV on, and it just does not work. I don't know if you saw. I posted a picture last night.
I didn't see that.
It was probably the dead middle of the night back home.
Yeah.
So the TV just doesn't work, and I go downstairs to the bar / front desk, and – the guy, to his credit, was like, all right, we'll get somebody right up there. Yeah, this is the scene last night. Just, wow. There, I'll show the stream.
They took it off the TV? Off the wall? You took it off the wall.
This lady, I got to say, every time I'm done with this hotel, they do something that, like, impresses me. This woman rolled in here, and she had to be at least in her mid-50s. She was like,
hey, JB, hold on, dog. That's like I'm in my mid-50s.
Okay. But this is a lady. It's like 9:30 at night, and she just picked that TV up off the wall.
In other words, she looks a little different than I do at 56.
Yes.
All right, cool. Go.
I mean, she wasn't like big. Like, she was like just a regular looking lady, and she replaced the physical television within like. She said, I'll be right back. I was like, oh, my God, I'm never going to see this lady. I'm never going to have a television. And within, like, 15 minutes, she replaced the whole thing. And
hey.
I was kind of impressed, as much as this weird hotel can impress you.
It is weird.
The only good thing, it's super close. So the Commanders are practicing at Arizona State, and it's, like, 6 minutes right there. I'm not walking it because this heat is serious business.
I understand, man. It's a little weird, though. How did you find this?
Marriott app? I don't know.
This, like, is a Marriott hotel?
Yeah. I'm telling you, B, it's like, it's brand new, but built to look weird and old.
I mean, it looks like it was built in the 70s.
I think that's what they want it to look like. To some people, and this will probably be my last experience at this brand of hotel, but this is like desired, I suppose. How was your travel out, man?
It was good, man. I mean, quick. I was 11 miles away from you.
No problems, easy?
None whatsoever.
And your hotel?
Just that the sunlight was, like, right in my face. Well, my hotel is great, but I went down to the lobby last night, and, you know, I could pick them up from a mile away because I've gone to Vegas many a times, and Wednesday night is when they begin to stroll in. Then Thursday night it gets a little more wild. Then Friday you really, really see the gist of it. There were three young ladies that they were really working last night. I think I saw them talk to every man in the bar. Each one of them talked to the same people, and they left several times and came back.
There you go.
And they look at me, and I will look the other way. I give them one damn bit of a idea to think that you're going to have a chance to try and talk to me, because no, it ain't happening.
So
I talked to Don Julio all night.
There you go. So, yeah. Landfill and Jeff, we'll start with a poll question on I guess it's a Bleep You Thursday. I'm very out of – yeah, it's Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
Would you rather be at the weird hotel or the nice hotel stocked full of escorts?
W, the W, baby.
I'm saying, listen, my hotel, my hotel's got no escorts. It doesn't have a front desk either.
His hotel had the club closed around, I would say, 12-ish, because there's a club on the second floor, Jeff. When you walk in, you go up there, they got music and a pool. My whole thing is, I've been there one night where they had a pool party. It was the NFLPA was here.
Oh, that'd be
fun. And I was like, somebody going to fall in that pool. And lo and behold, bam, somebody fell in that damn pool.
All right, Jeff, you can go to the pool club hooker party, or you can come to the weird 70s pinball hotel where they fix your TV. Party.
Hey, you don't even got to finish that. You don't even got to finish that, man.
I thought I'd know where you would go. Hey, Landfill, man. I'm a little more curious. Landfill, some of the selling points of my hotel – there's a burrito restaurant across the street and a CVS right next door.
I mean, I'm going to room 420. How's that even a question?
Well, Landfill, I'll be honest with you. I smelled a lot of that in my hotel last night, too.
Bro, there's more. Every time, like, D.C., it just reeks of weed everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Here is even more. Now, maybe especially because I'm by the college, and this college is massive, just massive. Yesterday, though, I had a ton of TV yesterday, and it is hot as hell out here. And what I've learned with this dry heat, the dry heat thing is kind of real. If you're in the shade and just chilling out, like, you recognize that it's hot, but it's not sweltering like humidity.
You don't sweat.
Right. Well, you kind of sweat, but you don't feel hot. But as soon as you have to be out in the sun, you're cooked.
But what happens out here, the sweat evaporates real quick. You don't really sweat like when you're in humidity.
Yeah.
And that's why so many people out here dehydrate.
Well, dude.
Because they don't think they're, I don't need no water. I'm not sweating. Yes, you are, fool.
So far, I'm getting people texting me which hotel they vote for.
One are they voting for?
Landfill, you won't put a poll up of, do you want room 420 or the hotel packed with hookers?
Escorts, dude.
I'm sorry.
It's high end.
Dude, so yesterday I had the show last night on NBC, and I had like an hour in between my last just hit and doing that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get some caffeine, honestly. And I needed just like some water, and we were just dying. And so I drove around just trying to find like a 7-Eleven or a gas station. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything. So I finally get to this like strip of college bars, basically, and I park, and I'm like, all right, some place here somewhere will have stuff. And I just start like all these. It was like three in a row of little stores that looked kind of like convenience stores. So I poke my head in the first one, and it's just six dudes sitting around smoking weed. And they looked at me, and I looked at them. I was like, not what I'm looking for, and just turned around. I think I bugged them out, man. And I had to go to like three more places. Finally, I found a Taco Bell. Have you been to one of these Taco Bells that are also bars?
No.
So it's a Taco Bell, but with, like, draft beer and a full bar, and you can just get, like, a Cheez-It quesadilla or whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying not to have to go to the bathroom, Jay.
Well, I didn't get any food. I got a Mountain Dew and a bottle of water. It's interesting out here because I've been out here for, like, you know, four or five nights for the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
But the Super Bowl arrives at a city and kind of takes over that city. You know what I mean? Like, the Super Bowl is kind of overpowering.
I'm with you.
Like, this week we're here and it's just Phoenix. Like, it's just Tempe. Like, they're just doing their thing. And it's definitely, I don't know.
Yeah, you might want to turn that on, dog.
I'm working on it. There you go. So here's the question.
All right.
How much did you ever have this when you were playing? Where you guys go for the whole week for a game like this?
Only time I went for the whole week was when we went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And we went to London.
Right, okay.
That was it.
And that was preseason, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of?
But teams did it. Other teams did it. The 49ers always did this. You know? And I think it's cool if you plan on a Monday and then instead of flying all the way home and then come back, I think that's a lot of tedious things going on. I think it's best to fly straight to the place.
I think it makes sense logistically, but I think if they had lost, if they had lost Monday night, I feel like this whole week would feel a lot different.
It'll feel different, but it feels different at practice if you go straight home.
Too. Yeah.
So to get to where they want to go and have the best work, I think they did the right thing.
I think logistically, because otherwise, so Monday night, what time did you get out of there? It was like 12:30 probably when the buses were pulling out.
I probably got to the hotel around 12 something.
Okay. The team probably got out here.
It landed around 3 something in the morning, the time here. It's at 6 something at our place.
Right, and then Tuesday was an off day.
I was listening to John talk to him, so yeah, around that time.
And then they're just settled. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It makes a big difference. Like, this morning, I wasn't tired. Like, yesterday, the time was screwing me up. This morning, I went to bed last night probably like 10 and just woke up this morning. Mm-hmm. I feel like my voice is a little cracky. Maybe, I don't know why. Maybe because it's 7 a.m.
Could be.
I mean, I didn't do anything last night. I had a cheeseburger and went to sleep, and outside of the TV extravaganza. What do you think for this week? It was a really interesting comment from Jaden Daniels yesterday. Basically, he was asked in so many words, like, how do you avoid a letdown game after something as explosive and impressive as Monday night, right? And basically, his answer was, you know, if you never get too high or too low, if you approach everything as it's just another game, and that's just another game in the rear view, mm-hmm. you can't really have a letdown because it's not like I was amped up for something.
Yeah.
Do you buy that?
Do I buy the way I buy it? Because, like, the whole thing about it, see, that game, after the game, you look at him, he was happy. He wasn't overly ecstatic like most fans were. And I think if he keeps his mind in a certain way, listen, if they were to go out there and the game isn't good, fans are going to call it a letdown game. But if they play and they lose or whatever and they got things across and accomplished a lot and he feels the way he does, he won't feel that way. And I think that's one thing I don't think media or fans understand. When you're playing it, you can care less how everybody else is feeling. You have to be comfortable and confident in what you feel. Because there's a game you lose, and no, there's no such thing as, you know, moral victories and stuff like that. But when you lose and you start looking at the film, you're like, damn, we couldn't have played much better. They just were a better team that day. You can accept it as a player. The people that look at it don't accept it ever.
I think that's really just who Jaden is, man. Like, I do think there's not a lot of – for him, the performances, maybe they'll be volatile, right? Like, maybe there'll be some roller coasters along the way. He is a rookie. You got to expect a bad game here or there. But I don't think he gets too high, too low about anything.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so little that seems to, like – rattle him, and all his teammates talk about his poise. I mean, unprompted yesterday, we got to talk to 5 or 6 guys, and I mean, dudes that are veterans that have been in the league. Like, Bobby Wagner's going to the Hall of Fame, and he's like, man, we got to chill and let him grow and become whoever he's going to become. But for to start like this is wildly impressive.
It is.
And just the level of calm and poise and stability he brings, which is crazy because he's a rookie quarterback before he starts.
And it doesn't change from one area to the other. The only thing changes when it comes to being a quarterback in different places is what the people around you feel and think. So, 82, I walk into a huddle. I am a junior high school student. My 8th, 9th grade is my junior high. It's the 10th, 11th, 12th grade at the senior high. I'm the starting quarterback for the 11th, 12th grade team. When I walk in the huddle, the eyes I got were like, what the hell is this little young kid coming to this huddle for?
Right.
But I didn't step in the huddle without any confidence. I stepped in with confidence. One of the linemen kept talking. I threw him out the huddle. And he's like, what? And the coach said, get out the huddle. He told you to get out the huddle. So the coach supported me right off the bat. So those linemen and everybody else supported me. And then once they saw my work ethic, they started to do it.
Right.
Same thing here. Jaden comes in with that work ethic, and they're going to give him respect, and they're going to give him respect also because they drafted him at number 2
right.
in the draft. Then you got the coach. They are like, they believe in him, so we got to believe him. Then he walk in with the tools and doing everything they expect, it easily they just begin to see you as a player instead of, oh, this rookie.
Right.
They see him as a player, and he's like, he puts in all effort. Everybody says it to a T. He puts in as much work as he needs to get where he wants to go.
Sure. I think all of those things make a tremendous difference. And it's interesting, Bobby Wagner's kind of a few different times told a few different versions, but of the same story where, you know, because he was a middle linebacker on those great Seattle defenses, I mean, the Legion of Boom, all that, when he first arrived and he won that job, and, I mean, not to make it too full circle, but Dan Quinn is from the Pete Carroll tree, right, mm-hmm. where everything is competition at all times. And as much as that's become, like, kind of a cliche thing for a lot of coaches to say now, like, Pete Carroll was the first one, like, that Seattle culture really embraced that and leaned into it. Yeah. So Wagner ends up starting as a rookie for a team that went that beat Washington in the playoffs. I know that. I mean, his rookie year was 2012, same as RG3. Think about the guys that are in that huddle. That now, granted, it's a defensive huddle, but you still got to call the plays.
Oh, yeah.
Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, whoever was in there, right? And he said at first everybody tried to make fun of him, and he just had to, like, power through it. But once he proved he could play and he belonged,
I think that's all that matters.
They just listened to him.
Yeah, if you can play, they're going to give you the love and the respect. And I think the ultimate thing about Wagner, just like about Jaden, when the season started, they saw him play. They saw him work. They saw him practice. They saw him perform. They saw him prepare. So when the season started, if the coaches decided to start you, they're not complaining at that point. I'm sure when they first put you in there, they're looking like, yeah, whatever. But when the season started, you've proven it to them now.
I think even more than – I think you nailed something there. Once you show you can play, it kind of changes everything.
Oh, yeah.
But the way Jaden has prepared and carried himself, honestly, since he arrived for the draft – set them up to have and listen, you could look at it the skeptic point of view where it's like, all right, he was drafted second overall, like we already know what his role is going to be here.
Yeah.
But he never carried himself that way.
Yeah.
And
if he walked in here
every second,
started barking orders and demanding and acting like the other guy did, he would have had a different reception. But he walked in and all he did was work. Then the veterans start walking into the building and they like, damn, this kid already here? You know? And I think it's just like people tried to beat Tom up. They couldn't. When Kobe was around, and Kobe, I think, what was it, Dwight? Not Dwight Howard. No. Played in Miami with LeBron and Chris Bosh. He got up one morning super early, run down there. Kobe had already worked out, ate his first breakfast or whatever, and was about to start his second thing. Some guys just do it a certain way.
Heineke told that story when he was with New England, just practice squad.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I got to try to make an impression. And he got to the facility like 4:30. And
there you go.
Tom was already in the second quarter of a game.
That's what I'm saying. So when you have that, that is who you are. You don't have to change up because the people that normally get shunned by the veteran players are those who walk in and try to be more than what the hell they are. Point blank.
Lot to discuss today. The Commanders defense has really been struggling. It's easy to say, yeah, they're going to get better, and Dan Quinn kind of did that yesterday, but how does that actually happen? Injury report is complicated because you're coming off a short week. We'll tell you what matters and what doesn't. Austin Ekeler out for Sunday. We kind of expected that. I'm not saying it's a surprise. I do think it impacts the offense. You take one of your best playmakers off the field. We are just getting warmed up on a Bleep You Thursday. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're coming to you live from Tempe, Arizona. Arizona State University, where the Commanders
is Temp.
Where the Commanders are back. Yo, just in case, like, somebody missed that show that day. The reason we always say Temp is because Jeff legit thought it was just called
Temp. In the promo, I did put it in there.
I love that.
Lanford, right. Did you use that part?
Yeah.
I say we're going to be coming to you live from Arizona. Well, temp, as Jeff would say.
Commanders are out here practicing. They're kind of moving practice times around. It's been interesting because it's hot. Now, the actual practice is indoors, so it's not like they're out here.
It's still hot.
Just walking around, though, is hot.
Hot as hell.
All right, so right now it's 7:32 a.m. Jeff and Landini, why don't y'all guess what the temperature is outside right now?
Hey, what you said, it was 7:32?
Yeah.
80 degrees.
Yeah, I was going to say 83.
Jeff, nailed it.
On the point.
It's 80 right now. Today actually looks cooler.
When I land, last night, when I was asked what was the temperature, I was driving to the hotel. It was a little bit before 8. It was 100 degrees.
Today looks cooler, though, B. It's only getting up to 106. It's different out here, man.
Oh, yeah.
So, B, you and I have gone back and forth on this, and Dan Quinn had an answer yesterday that I thought he obviously has a job to do here. And clearly, keeping the vibes right might be Quinn's greatest skill, I would say, where he is really focused on getting this team to perform at the highest level. And I don't think he wants to be negative, but he also doesn't want to lie, right? Like,
yep.
So defensively, they've really struggled. And I think you can't deny that at this point. And I thought his answer yesterday, so DQ got asked about, because what they said is we want them to play with speed and play violent and run downhill.
Yeah.
And he's like, not yet. I'd say we're gaining there, so we're still building onto that, but we're not hitting the marks that we want yet. By no means is that where we're going to end up.
Uh-huh.
And I love the crew. I love what we're about. So we're going to grow. They're going to play faster. They're going to play more violent. And so the more of that we do, then you stack on more and stack on some more. But we're not to the space we will be yet, no. So there's a lot of coach speak, a lot of jargon in there. They're clearly not playing to the level he wants them to play because they're not playing well. Like, if he was comfortable with how the defense was playing, it would be a much larger problem than him trying to coach speak his way around saying, hell no, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all that really said was, I want them to play like X. They're playing like Y. I'm not thrilled with it.
And we can all see that. You can't hide it.
Right.
And when you listen to me, I told you he's the calmest dude in the world on the sideline. But just like you look at your parents when they look at your brothers and sisters, you know who to follow, who not to follow. When you watch him in the office, been on the field, and that camera pans to him, you see a much more jovial guy than when the defense on the field, right? He still has the same calm look, but you see a little gleam in his eye when the offense is out there. And he and Joe both can't be happy with it. You know, they come in.
I got a feeling Joe won't be as good as coach speaking his way around it.
Joe is not a coach speak guy. Joe tells you exactly what he feels. And I think players also respect it because you don't want to be lied to. And Dan isn't lying to him. He's telling them, you're not where I want you to be.
You're not hitting the mark,
and I expected to get there. So
through three games, Commanders are giving up 377 yards per game, and they've given up 11 touchdowns. That is tied for the second worst in the league. The only team that's given up more is the Cowboys. They've given up 12 touchdowns. I mean, this is kind of a chicken or egg question. Like, it's an existential thing that I think you and I land on different sides. Do you think defensively they're going to, like, DQ has no choice but to think his defense is going to improve.
I think he
thinks, for us, we're on the sideline, like, we can look at it more objectively.
Well, I think he thinks the more they play, the better they will start to do the things exactly how he wants it done. I sit there, I watch the game that's just like you, and what do I tell you about the D lineman that I see a lot? They attack a guy and it's like they turn it into, I'm gonna beat this guy. Eventually, you got to dismiss that guy's ass, get rid of him, and make a tackle. I've watched guys hit a guy in the chest and run right past the running back. I never saw the arm come out to try to at least grab him or something. And sometimes that happens in football where I'm firing off so much, I want to beat this guy. But your job is to make a tackle or make it so tough to where the guy can't just run through a hole. And when we watched the game just Monday night, there were a lot of guys going right past the running back. So when you watch these special teams, those guys stick and throw. That works for defensive linemen as well.
I also think it's always worth noting who the opposition has been, right? Like, go back to the NFC East title of 2020 when the team went 7-9 and they beat guys like Nick Mullins and Ben DiNucci as the opposing quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, I never really bought into that success, right? Through three games, they've gone up against Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, you had T. Higgins back. That Tampa game, Mike Evans is eventually going to the Hall of Fame. Godwin, Baker Mayfield, that team has some offensive skill and a really good offensive line that nobody discusses. But the Giants game, Neighbors looks all world, but Danny Dimes is Danny Dimes. Like, I don't know that their struggles have been competition dependent, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, this weekend, with Kyler running around and Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't think in the NFL people are like, oh, man, they always get torched by the team's top, by some of these top wide receivers. Everybody in the NFL has good receivers.
Everybody gets torched by the top receivers, to be honest with you. Not often do you just stop a top receiver.
Sure, but, like, I don't know. When they play Cleveland and it's Cooper and Judy, not everybody's CeeDee Lamb or Tyreek. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I don't think there's going to be a change in the level of competition that helps Washington.
It won't be a change in the level of competition, but I'm going to tell you, what does everyone say is the strength of that defense?
I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I don't know that you could say there is one through three.
No, I'm asking what they still say. I'm not caring about what is if there's
the
one.
The perception is
the
defensive line.
The defensive tackles are our strength.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They need to play to it. Listen, this is no knock or whatever. The coach just told you that the guys are not playing how he wants them to play. So, ultimately, who runs the team? The big boys. The big boys are not playing the way this was. Last year, we talked about the offensive line. This year, we don't have to talk about them. Why? Because the quarterback is more mobile, and they're giving him a little bit more time. So, they're playing a little better. We need those guys on the other side
and
to play better.
They finally address center.
We need the guys
Giannis
on the other side to play better.
Giannis has been so good.
Yes, he has. But we need those guys to play better. And listen, just going out there and say, oh, the defensive backs. Well, if they got all the time in the world to throw it, they're going to pick you apart eventually.
Injury news, we need to run through the injury report. Just finishing these numbers out. Passing defense, Commanders are second to last in the league, giving up 255 per game through the air. Kind of surprising. The team that's behind them is the Ravens, and they're giving up almost 300 per game through the air, 291. And then the rushing defense, there's not a lot of surprises here. The Commanders are middle of the pack, 121.7. A lot of injury news from yesterday. DQ was a little revealing. We thought he was just being nice. We later learned it was a new NFL rule that he had to tell us the truth. we're going to run through the full injury report. You tell me, Landfill, when we come back, is it good news? Emmanuel Forbes is going to be back on the field Sunday. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Brian just went outside. What are you taking pictures of? My weird hotel? I got a rotary phone. Is that what you call that, a rotary phone?
I got a
push button. See, they're trying to make it look old, but it's actually new. Like,
yeah,
a fake rotary phone that's actually just a regular phone.
Now you have you could touch just flat stuff. Those are actual buttons. People don't much have that anymore.
Be Mitch out here touching the flat stuff. All right, I want to go through the injury report. Brian, you tell me what matters and what doesn't.
Right.
Obviously, we were expecting this. Dan Quinn confirmed it yesterday. Austin Eckler is out for Sunday's game. I kind of get the feeling that they don't know when his return will be, but that's just the nature of head injuries.
Yeah.
It's a big blow, dude.
I think it is. I think, people talk well, Nate was talking as if, oh, this is Monte Carson. No, no, no. He had an impact every time he touched the ball. And I think you mentioned it yesterday, and I think that's the most important.
9 yards per touch, 9.3 yards per touch.
That is great. But you talked about him in the passing game blocking. He's a badass, dude.
Yeah.
He's not the biggest dude out there, but that dude is going to lay some lumber. And what you got to understand about football, you don't have to knock people on their back. You just have to make sure that that person is not going to touch your quarterback. And when he steps in and hit him, they stop.
Did you see – I don't know if you saw this. Jay Gruden posted a video on Twitter of the touchdown throw to Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. Maybe you saw it live. Jeremy McNichols had to come in that situation because Eckler was hurt, and I'm guessing B-Rob might have just been gassed. And if you remember pre-snap, there was a bunch of confusion. Like, Luke McCaffrey didn't seem set. McNichols didn't seem sure of what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, there's a blitzing linebacker, and McNichols just buried him. And, I mean, one thing you and I talked about with coming out of preseason was – we thought Wiley had run better.
Hold on.
What do you got going on?
I mistakenly sent this phone to Brian Colbert. He said, what the hell? Does it still work?
I think McNichols made the team over Wiley because of pass pro.
Yeah.
And I think that showed.
Yeah, but
on the most important throw.
I watched Wiley in preseason. He was blocking too. But what I always say, running backs have two jobs before they run the ball. One, protect the quarterback. Two, do not fumble the ball. Then they can do whatever the hell they want to do. And you can see that Anthony Lynn stresses pass pro. Because the guys that were pass proing, they made the team.
Right.
Let's be real. The guys that weren't, they came back as something else.
So Eckler's out, and that's a big deal. And I don't think we should try to understate that. Clelin Ferrell also out. And DQ explained, yeah, this is not a surprise. We knew he was going to be out last week, out this week. We expect him back. He was kind of shutting down any conversation about Ferrell having to go to IR.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to get a little pass rush going late in that game against the Bengals. I don't think it was an accident that their starting tackle was out. But that is two veteran starters, for lack of a better word, or at least major contributors that are out for Sunday's game. I'm not saying you can't win. That happens everywhere in the NFL, but it's not good news.
It's not good news, but you know what? A lot of people get a chance because somebody got hurt.
Sure.
And I think the ultimate thing is you kept the guys around at running back just in case. I mean, you don't think that – I mean, I'm sure when they pick Brian and also Austin, you had to make sure you had two other guys that you feel very comfortable with if one of those guys got banged up. And that's what it is. And then Clelin Ferrell comes in. And I think when you look at him.
I think you look at Fowler.
I think you have to. But the ultimate thing is somebody else may be able to step in. But there has to be a guy chomping at the bit saying, you know, I'm getting a chance now.
Sure.
You know, and I think that has to be your mindset. You know, I want guys around that can't wait to get an opportunity.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. All right, so Johnny Newton, he's still on the injury report with a foot, but he was a full participant. Emmanuel Forbes still on the injury report with his thumb, full participant. Benjamin St. Juice is on there. Quan Martin's on there, both in a limited capacity. I would say both those guys are going to play. Ertz on there with a rest day. They wrote non-injury related, right? Mm-hmm. That's rest. Crowder on there, non-injury related rest. We did get an update last night to Crowder that he also had the calf added to his injury designation. Mm-hmm. So maybe his calf's a little tight, whatever. I think Crowder's been inactive the last two games. I'll confirm.
He was last week.
Yeah, if he was last week, he was week two against the Giants also. This one, I don't – I'm not trying to send alarm bells ringing or anything. Cosme, DNP, Achilles. I think the interior of that O-line has been really good. I think you don't want – I didn't see him yesterday now that I'm thinking about it, but I didn't necessarily look for him. I just didn't physically see him.
Uh-huh.
It's also the Wednesday coming off a Monday night game where a lot of guys, if your pinky toe hurts, they're like, yeah, just sit this one out because I think everybody understands what it needs to be going on a short week. Does the Cosby of all this stuff, right? Obviously, Eckler being out is the biggest deal, but we kind of knew that. Mm-hmm. Cosby is like the new development here. Concern.
I have more, more concern about him because he's been solid, but I think Dieter back
yeah.
up that.
Yeah,
Dieter played okay during preseason, but Dieter's also a backup center.
Right.
So you wonder if one other person gets nicked up, does it begin to affect it? But I'm more concerned about Cosby because, you know, offensive linemen don't get a lot of press, mm-hmm. but they're more vitally important than a lot of other people because if they don't work, it doesn't start. Mm-hmm. You don't have a chance to go out there and perform. So, yes.
That is one, when we get out there for practice today, so they're practicing late today. They're practicing at 2 o'clock here. So if you're waiting around at home looking for updates, it's not going to be till 5 o'clock. That's one to keep an eye on. Now, I think at this stage, it's nothing more than something to keep an eye on because it was the Wednesday after a short week. But if maybe he's not out there today. If he's not out there today, if it's a straight DNP, that will get my attention for sure. If he's out there today in a limited capacity, that is tracking the right way.
Yeah.
And, dude, frankly, even if it's a DNP today, but then he can go tomorrow, he's going to play Sunday. So tomorrow's really the one where you got to – ideally he's out there.
That's that new stuff. Normally it would be Thursday because Thursday is a work day.
But on a short week, I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right. Still, it's just I think big offensive linemen normally can gut through stuff.
Yeah.
But if it's a lower extremity thing, you have to be careful with that.
Achilles makes me nervous.
Achilles always make you nervous.
Right. Like that. I mean, if you think about the size of, like, I mean, every regular people just like me, like, you just look at your Achilles and the tightness just of, like, how it regularly is and that your whole body, however much you weigh, 100 pounds, 400 pounds, your whole body needs that little band to operate. Huh. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It'll get you.
There's a lot going on there. All right. There's also a lot going on with these Arizona Cardinals. When we return, Tyler Drake joins the program to give us the scoop on AZ. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Cool news out of Germany. The Rhein Fire have won back-to-back World League titles. Jim Tom Sula is their head coach.
Jim.
Jim Tom's a good dude, man. I'm happy for him. I remember him many years ago telling me how much he loved coaching over there. He used to coach in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Joining us right now is Tyler Drake. Tyler covers the Arizona Cardinals out here in Phoenix. Tyler, what's up, man? Thanks for making time for us.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Doing well, man.
Get us up to speed with all things AZ. They kind of seem similar to Washington in that there's a whole lot of offense and not a lot of defense. They're 1-2 through two games, but they were right in that opener against the Bills. What's the word with the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. It's a lot of offense with a defense that they want to get up to speed. Obviously, a lot more talent on the offensive side of the ball than the defensive side. You've got Kyler Murray out there. You've got Marvin Harrison Jr., James Conner, Trey McBride, who obviously is going through concussion protocol still, but that's really the big thing. They've been competitive in all these weeks. Obviously, they won in week two by a landslide. But, yeah, the season opener. Obviously, their offense fell flat in the second half, but they kept it in a one-score game. Week three, same deal. Really came out on fire, and then the offense kind of sputtered. And that's kind of the deal with this team right now. If that offense can't really put together a full game or at least three quarters of really good work, then the defense is going to have to make up a lot, and that's just been something that has not been able to come to fruition to result in wins in those two games. So if the offense isn't consistent, it's going to be a very interesting game, I'll say that.
What is it they want to do on offense? Is it run the ball more or pass?
Yeah, so they're built on running the rock. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. is there. That's been the big storyline out here, but it really starts with them getting the run game going behind James Conner. They've got Trey Benson and Amari DiMercato in there too, but James Conner is really their bell cow. Obviously, Kyler can run the rock too, but they really want to run the ball. that's what they did really well against the Rams. That's what they did really badly against the Lions this last week. I think Connor only had 9 carries for 17 yards, and I think they're 2-7 now when he gets under 10 carries. So if that run game isn't going, that's a big, big, big problem for this Cardinals team. Obviously, a lot of the talks with Kyler, a lot of the talks with Marvin, a lot of the talks with these weapons that he has, but if they can get this run game going, that's going to open up the rest of everything else for this team moving forward.
How's Kyler look so far this season?
Yeah, he looks comfortable. He looks comfortable. I think a lot of people out here are seeing kind of that next step in his maturity. He did a lot of the off-the-field stuff this offseason with a lot of his teammates and players, and that was really cool to see. On the field, he looked very comfortable, not really – doesn't look lost out there in the new system, obviously still a new system. Finally got a full off-season of work in it, but he looks like he is taking the right steps forward. I think I really like that he's getting the deep ball going again. Obviously didn't hit this last game, but in week 2, I think he completed all 5 of them, and that was a pretty impressive feat in itself. So, if he can continue to dial up the deep ball, and if he can continue to use his legs in a concerted effort, not a full-blown let's just run, that's going to bode well for this offense moving forward, because obviously we've seen the seconds that he's had to throw the ball. That's from him scrambling. That's from a little bit of O-line help, but that's a lot of him doing his own thing at the end of the day.
Defensively, what's been their biggest problem?
Biggest problem, I would say just getting a consistent pass rush. That's been the big thing right now is Dennis Gardeck, put together a couple of sacks this last game, but outside of that, or not this last game, but week 2, but outside of that, that's just been the big thing. It's very hit or miss right now. So if they can get more of a consistent pressure on the quarterback, that could go a long way. I think the secondary is playing a little bit better than many of us would have expected at this point. I think we still would like to see a lot of their second-round pick, Max Melton. But right now, I think the pass rush, they need some more depth there. Zaven Collins has taken a step forward from being that transitional guy from an inside backer to outside guy. Dennis Gardeck has been playing with his hair on fire, and you really know what you get out of him. But beyond those guys, they need somebody to step up and really be another force. I really like what Mac Wilson is doing at the inside linebacker position, because he can be utilized as a really good pass rusher too. So maybe they get him some more reps moving forward, but they definitely need to find another guy to really fit in there and be a consistent guy off the edge for this team moving forward.
Talking with Tyler Drake here. You can give him a follow at tdrake4sports, Cardinals reporter for AZ Sports. What's the injury situation for the Cardinals? Dan Quinn specifically mentioned Buda Baker as a really big problem defensively for Arizona. That's a guy that's all over the field, been playing at a high level on the back end of that Arizona defense for years now. I saw he's on the injury report. Marvin Harrison's on there. Trey McBride has been a stud tight end. He's in the protocol, I think. Where are they at injury-wise?
Yeah, it's a big week for the injury side of things. Just like you said, I think Buda's dealing with a quad. He was limited yesterday. Marvin was limited as well. It didn't look like anything was really holding Marvin back, just from the open portion that we can see and we can report on. You've got Trey McBride in concussion protocol. You've got Kelvin Beachum, who's dealing with a hamstring issue. Injury. He's their starting right tackle right now with Jonah Williams out, so he's going to be a guy that they really need to get healthy, especially with week 3 starter Jackson Barton going down on the IR with a toe issue. So the depth at right tackle is super, super thin right now. So they're going to have to do something if Beachum can't go. He was back out there practicing, though, so that's a good sign moving forward. With Trey, we'll have to see if he's out there in a non-contact jersey today. That's a really good sign for moving forward. But, yeah, there's quite a few injuries that are some big-time injuries for this Cardinals team, for sure.
It looked like both of these teams look in the mirror like they're dealing with the same things. Offense is good.
Yeah.
Defense isn't, and you got injuries all around.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And how ironic is it that it's Cliff coming back to town? I mean, it's very much like you've got the rookie quarterback who can do it through the air, do it with his legs. You've got these injuries you got to deal with. You've got an offense that's outplaying the defense. I mean, it's just it is a mirrored matchup this week for sure. Mm-hmm.
How much do folks here care about Cliff's return? Like how How big it, it, it's funny. I was at Jaden Daniels' availability yesterday. I don't know if you were there, Tyler. But it was there was a pretty good local crowd to it of Phoenix reporters and a lot of questions about his time at Arizona State. And I just found that kind of interesting, but not particularly germane to what I do. And the Cliff story, I feel like is kind of similar. How big of a deal is it out here that you've got Cliff coming back?
Yeah. I wasn't there. I was actually at Cardinals. I did hear you ask a couple questions, though. So I was like, okay, he's in town. That's good to know. But it was very interesting to listen back to that Jaden interview. And kind of the same thing. I think it means more for the ASU fans and the people that covered ASU. With Cliff, I think a lot of people still, kind of go back to that 2022 ending and kind of see like, hey, this just kind of fell apart. And obviously, everything that happened after that, I think the contract extension timing, the offseason before his firing really had a part of that. You've got the dysfunction that was happening on the team, off-the-field issues. That's really, obviously not completely on Cliff, but he was running the show at that time. I think some people still care out here. I really do. I think especially if the Cardinals were in a worse spot and they really didn't have a path forward, or at least a idea of where they want to get to, I think it'd be a lot more louder. But being that Jonathan Gannon and Monty Osfort have come in and kind of turned the page, got a new culture, got a new foundation set, I think people are kind of moving on. But I can tell you right now, I think when he goes into State Farm Stadium and Cardinals fans see him, there's going to be quite a few boos coming out right away. I'm not going to doubt him.
No,
go for it. I think it's very, they've got to find a scapegoat, and they're going to have one on the field on the opposite sideline, so why not be him? I mean, you've got Steve Keim working for Clutch now, so I don't know if they can find him on the sideline right now, but you can at least find one of the guys that was on that old regime.
Well, Cliff knows Kyler Murray. Are anybody concerned about him knowing him so well? Because he fought for him to come here, get drafted that high, that they're going to attack, have an approach on defense to try and affect him and make him have to do things that he's not comfortable with?
Yeah. I think that's definitely a thing, and I think it goes both ways, too. I think there's a lot of stone and turning over here of, hey, you used to play, used to practice against Cliff's offense. Hey, Buda Baker, what did you see during his time here? Hey, Kyler, what did you see? What are his tendencies? And we talked to Kyler yesterday, and he said he really couldn't give him much what's different just because new system, totally different things that are reliant on other things now. But there's definitely going to be some familiarity there that I guarantee you both sides are going to try to exploit. And it's going to be on the guys to really recognize, hey, I've done this too much when Cliff was in town. Maybe I do need to switch this up or vice versa. So I'm going to be really looking at that kind of cat and mouse game of like, all right, here's Kyler. He likes to run. What are they going to do to contradict that? So it's going to be very interesting to see kind of the chess game going on between the two sides.
Maserati Marv lands on the injury report. He has been, he was good week one, fantastic week two, and then just got completely shut down last week. Just kind of a receiver learning the NFL. Did Buffalo do something? It was not Buffalo last week, Detroit.
No, Buffalo got him first week.
Did Detroit do something that he couldn't figure out or the offense couldn't figure out? What's the deal with Harrison, a rookie that has all the promise and
great potential?
Yeah. So actually, he got shut down big time in week one. He only had 3 targets, 1 catch for 4 yards. They really didn't move him around or put him in any motion situations. So that was kind of the thing there. And really,
so it was Buffalo didn't give shut him down.
Yeah. And Buffalo didn't give him a chance. I mean, they had a lot of double team on him a lot. I mean, they had a lot of cloud coverage on him that first game. Second game, obviously, I think they knew that they needed to push the envelope a little bit more and get him involved. You saw that. You saw his incredible catch that he made on that first touchdown. The second one was just as impressive with his ability to kind of read the defense and just shoot out down the field. Then this last week, I thought he came in and started hot, but I think that run game kind of fizzling out, they were able to kind of just lock in on limiting the pass game, and that took a lot away from him, took a lot away from other guys too. I really thought Greg Dortch was going to have a big game just because of what we saw these guys out of the slot do against the Lions these past couple weeks, and I think he might have been maybe dealing with a little bit of a hammy still, but he was even limited too. So I think all in all, that run game really is going to set the tone and really open up that passing game moving forward. And that's where they're going to beat you. If they can do that and then fire one over the top to Marvin, that's the way that this Cardinals team wants to win.
It's so kind of getting – we're 2 days out now. I mean, this game is coming. What is what's your gut tell you? It's an interesting spot because Arizona's got the 1-2 record, but, you know, they've also had to play a Bills team that's pretty loaded or at least playing on fire early in
yes,
the year.
They are.
Detroit's coming off an NFC title game appearance. Washington's coming off the big win, but they do have the short week. Kind of how you feeling about this game on Sunday?
Yeah, I really do think it's going to be one of those just offensive attacks versus offensive attacks. I think the Cardinals, it really is going to come down. I think if Justin Jones was not on the IR and that run defense was a little bit more sound, I'd have a little bit more confidence in the Cardinals. But just given what I've seen out of Jaden and those guys, like they really have figured out a way to utilize all of his strengths. You know, it's going to be close. It's tough for me to really nail one down, but I think I'm going to go with the Cardinals on this one. I think they're going to play with a little more juice, knowing who's on the other side. Obviously, they're not going to say that they're looking into that, but I think we all can know that they've got a former head coach on the other side that they want to try to go beat. And obviously, Kyler and Jaden, I know that you heard that too yesterday. They've met at the mall one time. So
yeah.
that was a really funny exchange just talking with Kyler about that. But I'm going to go with the
what
Cardinals.
What did Kyler say about that?
So, oh, yeah. He just said, yeah,
hold on 1 second. Just let me get our audience up to speed. So remember that Jaden Daniels he started his college ball out here in Tempe at Arizona State and was here for 3 seasons before he mm-hmm. transferred to LSU and then obviously had so much success with the Tigers. But he said when he was here at Arizona State, he was just walking around the mall one day and he saw Kyler Murray. And so he just went up and introduced himself. I heard Jaden's version of events. Now Tyler's going to give us Kyler's version of events.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. So he basically said, yeah, just I met him or he came up and said, what's up to me. And he really just said, like, I really appreciate, you know, what he's about, what he's doing. He also talked about kind of how he left ASU and had a lot of scrutiny from his former teammates and stuff like that. And how Kyler had a similar thing moving from A&M to Oklahoma. So, like, you could kind of see their career path. There's a little bit of a similarity there. So he just talked very highly of the young quarterback and said that he likes what he's about. He thought really highly of him. It was a cool little thing that we really didn't expect to hear from. But yeah, we were kind of sitting there thinking, like, is it at Fiesta Mall, Superstition Mall over in Scottsdale? Like, where are these guys meeting at? Like,
at the mall.
that's funny, man. How has Connor started the season? That guy is clearly just a kind of a throwback runner, super physical, gets downhill on everybody. Washington hasn't stopped to run very well. How has James Conner looked to start the year?
Yeah, I mean, he's looked really good. I think just outside of this last game, just that 9 carries for 17 yards was nothing, but he also really didn't get a chance to do much. So, yeah, like you said, traditional downhill runner, wants to put you in the ground while he runs over you or stiff arm you or do whatever. And he's just a good dude, too. Like, there's really the way he goes about his business, he might be one of those guys that plays for a while as an old-time running back just because of how he treats his body and goes about his business. He's just all about work. And, I mean, he's a great story. Being able to come back from when he fought, cancer and all that, like, just an incredible story. So, yeah, he very much, they want to get him going. And against a team that isn't as great against the run, they are going to make that a very, very, very concerted effort to get him going from the start.
Hey, can I ask one random one before we go here, Tyler? Just as a dude who, as a guy that lives here and is clearly all over the sports scene, and I know you cover the Cardinals, but I'm guessing you're aware of the Phoenix Suns. How has Bradley Beal been received out here?
Oh, man.
That laugh might say it all.
Not very well.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's take it this way. Like, the big three model, I would say he's probably the Bosch of the three. So take that for what you will. The third of the three, yes. The Chris Bosch of the Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Chris Bosch trio. The original super team. But, yeah.
Chris might think you're disrespecting him, man.
that's no disrespect to Chris Bosch. That's just how it comes off to somebody who grew up watching that other big three. But yeah, I would say it's been mixed. You can tell that he's got some scoring ability, but I feel like fans aren't really seeing that. And then you've got the added point of, hey, they needed a point guard, so they went in there and had, you know, Point Book, Point Beal. I don't really know how well that all worked out. I think Point Book is a lot better than Point Beal, in my opinion. But, I think it's a process. I think if he can come out and put together a couple good games, some fans might get back in his corner. But I definitely think it's some mixed reviews right now.
Probably some mixed reviews. That sounds a lot of right. Hey, Tyler, thanks for the time.
Appreciate
it, man.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, brother.
Tyler Drake, give him a follow at TDrake4Sports. You know how you can tell a dude is young? When the Bosch, LeBron, Dwayne Wade is the first big three. Like Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, and Larry Bird didn't play together. You know what I mean?
They didn't call it big three back then.
Sure, they made it. They made
they
that just, like the
they were all
trend.
On that team already.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. I am stunned, Brian, that Bradley Beal is not well received by the folks at
when
Phoenix.
You get paid properly and you don't play like that, they have a problem with you.
When we return. Oh, we got Bleep You today.
I didn't think
about that. High noon, we're opening the phones. We're going to play you some Dan Quinn audio. Nobody go anywhere. P. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. In about a half hour, it's time for Bleep You Thursday, baby. Phone lines will be open, 800-636-1067. Here's what I can report. Per sources, but the source is me. B. Mitch is obsessed with my weird hotel room.
I'm not obsessed with it.
You're intrigued.
No, I'm not intrigued.
You're intrigued.
I'm trying to figure this thing out. So, Landfill.
You were just playing the guitar. Landfill, your hotel room doesn't have a guitar.
I wanted to see if the guitar worked, but.
Play the guitar for the people.
He has a closet.
You're saying I have. Like, this isn't my house. I'm just staying in a hotel because I try
you
to stay close to the stadium.
You booked this damn hotel. Nobody else booked it for you.
Yo, it was cheap and it was near the stadium.
You booked this damn thing. Landfill, the closet is just on the wall. This has got some little sticks sticking out where you're just hanging stuff.
It's definitely not a closet. And they just have sticks on the wall.
You can go. You can
and did
dial.
You see the hangers? Go peep the hangers. They're not.
Oh, I saw that.
They're like weirdly leather. I don't even know how to describe it.
You dial #69 at night, and they tell you bedtime stories on this retro phone.
But here's what I can tell you, Lanville. I've been
Wait,
here two
what?
Nights. I was completely unaware of that.
Yeah, you #69, and they tell you stories on the phone. They say, it's not there
even,
to induce you to go to sleep.
I never
so
even
what is,
saw
what is there to induce you to
sheet
do?
Of paper. So, look, for the people on the stream, there's this big, like, poster hanging on the wall.
It's a how we play at the Moxie.
So, listen, here's another thing that never would have impacted me but would have impacted Brian. Apparently, there's no iron or ironing board in the room.
You got to go down to a communal room.
Which makes sense because there's not even a damn closet, let alone an ironing board. But there's communal ironing rooms. I don't iron, so it doesn't matter to me. B irons everything.
You know
every
what,
morning.
Landfill? And he has no drawers.
I have. So you just I got drawers.
You don't have a dresser or anything. You just.
I had everything on the couch, but I tried to clean up for your arrival.
But I'm saying this is weird,
Brian. I've established that it's weird. Now this bedtime stories thing is different. I was not prepared for this.
If you obey all the rules, you miss all the fun.
Yeah, man, they're leaning into the weirdness. Now,
I am so happy we're getting off early today.
You can take all the equipment, set it up at your place. I'll be there tomorrow. I do think you should play the guitar for the people like you were for me in the break.
Nah.
No?
I was just trying to see if it worked.
It
and
works.
It actually works.
It's a real guitar. Landville, do you want to hear me play the guitar?
Yeah, I think everybody does.
I really don't know how to play a guitar.
Give the people what they want, man.
Sports talk.
Yeah, right. They want B Mitch on the guitar. Also, if you can see on the stream, like just above Brian's head, kind of behind my shoulder, I guess, I have some records in here. There's not a record player, but there's some old records, including Black Sabbath, who I believe, I could be wrong on this, is both Johnny Cakes Auville and Neil Greenberg, our boys. I think that's their favorite band.
Well,
does that sound right, Landfill?
You leave that, yeah. that you leave that record there. Don't take that back.
I'm not taking it back. Yeah. Dan Quinn spoke yesterday. We got to catch up with him. Let's start with – I liked this answer. Now, granted, it was – I asked him the question. Number 12, Landfill, I asked Dan Quinn basically like, all right, you've got this offense really humming. How do you keep that going week after week?
Jaden gets named Player of the Week, NFC Offensive Player of the Week, with such a good offensive performance like that. And you're all about building in the journey. How do you get to those guys to know you still got to just keep going? This is a really explosive opponent this week.
Yeah, for us, you know, we didn't look at through the first couple of weeks, and we certainly aren't looking for that now. So the main thing is, honestly, right here to right now in this matchup. You're right, there is tough matchups and things to go, but each and some are different, you know, last week in terms of and how are we going to take care of their defensive end and, you know, make plays to make sure people like that don't ruin the game. So there's where do we attack? Where do you want to make sure you're not putting yourself into a tough spot? But we got a big, deep playbook. And so by no means has, you know, our full allotment of things come out. And so we expect to go and attack. Certainly a physical team that we're playing against. And we're certainly putting the work in this week. So by Sunday afternoon, we're really ready to hit it. But you do have to go through the whole process to get that work right.
A lot of work. I believe Jaden stays even keel, but the nature of the NFL is if a team looks good one week, a lot of times they don't the following week.
And
if
it changes.
It's a week-to-week league, man.
Totally.
Do you think they can maintain – listen, it was Monday night against Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of reasons to get up for that. And if you're Jaden Daniels and he just had this bomb year at LSU, but all you ever heard about was Joe Burrow, that game probably meant a lot to him on a scale – that is hard to replicate.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I don't think the performance came because it was Joe Burrow over there. I think the performance came because he saw some things that he felt he can exploit. And I think this week he wants to build on his game. Every once in a while you meet guys where they don't worry about what the other person is doing. They worry about where they are in their mind. And I think Jaden is one of those guys where he can care less who he's playing against. He wants to improve daily. And if you do that, you get better and better. You know, some guys see, oh, I arrived now. No, if you ever say that or think that, that's when you're done.
I'm with you there. And it's one of the things going back to why does he need to be named starter? It's not going to change what he's doing.
Exactly.
A lot of times, honestly, our boy Drew Cohen sent a really good tweet to me earlier specific to Jaden. I like this one. How Jaden, there's never a letdown because he's always searching for more.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I'm saying.
Drew said, what you're describing sounds familiar to a business promotion role to a very senior position. Some people look at achieving a selection as the end of a journey. Some look at it as the beginning of an even bigger journey.
Yeah.
The second perspective is what you want. I think he nailed that.
You're always looking for more.
Now, DQ, also, I asked him about the offensive line. I tend to agree with his assessment here. I'm curious if you do. 13, Landfill, please.
Yeah, I think you're mentioning Hendrickson there. Just overall, this offensive line has probably outperformed expectations. How do you think your front five's doing?
I was pleased with the offensive line in last week's game. We thought, you know, we'd have some chances to hit it big on the run. We did early with Austin. We felt maybe there was some more that we left there. But by and large, I really feel their connection inside. I feel that from Badass. I feel it from Nick. If you'd been on the sideline, next series, next one, when you have those long drives, those big fellas, they like that, you know, where they get more time to go put their hands onto people. And the more of those that we do, completions and runs that are over 50, that's good for us. And that's what we're usually aiming for, and so we hit that mark this weekend.
I like when a coach called him Badass. I like that.
But I agree, man. I think Allegretti's playing at a level that not a ton of us were expecting. I think he's been pretty good.
Well, when they signed him here, I think, you know, the question was, well, he never was a starter in Carolina, but Kansas City.
Yeah.
But the ultimate thing was he was a guy that they had a lot of faith in. They thought highly of him, and then since he stepped in here, he's done his thing, bro.
I do want to get one more here. DQ 15 on what this offense is doing and not punting.
Neither side punted, so both offenses were humming at a high level, and that's what good, tough, you know, play looks like some games. And to see that game, long drives, scores, back and forth. It's the type of fight that you want your team to be in. I've been with some teams younger where they don't quite know how to finish, and this team in that locker room coming out for the second half, it wasn't that. You know, let's go to work. Let's go do it again. Let's go battle again. And so those are the things you're looking for as a coach when it gets to crunch time. You know, how are you going to perform? How are you going to react?
It's good to see it, but you don't want to be in those like that all the time.
As much as we are celebrating that they haven't punted, Bengals didn't punt either.
They didn't punt. And I think as a defensive coach, that's not a good thing.
No, man.
That's why he stated, we are not where we want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're not. And frankly, I think they're kind of far from it. And it's got to improve. When we come back, B-Mitch got mad about the constant comparisons for Jaden Daniels. We'll explain. Nobody go anywhere.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
All right, folks, about 10 minutes away from Bleep You Thursday. Phone lines will be open. We're going to make Jeff work. Right now, though, time for Fact or Fiction, B. This is from NFL.com. Kevin Patra is the writer. We'll start with the headline. Let you answer this. Is Josh Allen the NFL's best player?
Yes, for the first 3 weeks, but it doesn't matter what he is the first 3 weeks. When it comes down to it, will he be? I don't know if I can say yes to that answer.
Answer this. Whose career will be more defined by playoff success? Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? Because to me, they both hit this spot. They're great regular season players.
Yeah.
But until either of them can get past Pat and break through and get a ring – They're
going to be kind of like Karl Malone.
Yeah, like a Charles Barkley or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I
think both of them are going to be about explained exact same way.
Unless, yeah. Right?
Because let's be real. Joe beat Pat and went to the playoff, to the Super Bowl. Didn't win it. But he has had a whole demeanor put out there based off of that fact that he beat Pat and played him tight and this, that, and the other. Pat got 3 Super Bowl championships. Okay? Joe has none. And you want to put him in Pat's thing?
I mean, specific to Burrow, you're right. I think he gets the credit because of the success they've had in Kansas City.
But let's remember, he's
still obviously number 2 to him, though.
But Pat,
nobody claims he's better.
But Pat, I mean, Joe don't play against Pat. Joe's right on the sideline with Pat's on the field. That's the weird thing about the quarterbacking aspect.
Sure. I also think with Burrow, the conversation is different because he won a ring in college.
You know, I understand like, that, but Burrow beat Pat and whatever. Lamar has 2 MVPs. Does Joe?
He's 0.
Okay.
But Joe has been able to win in the playoffs and Lamar hasn't.
I understand that.
And I think specific to Lamar, it appears that there's a formula in January to shut him down.
Yeah.
And until he proves that untrue, that's just going to stick with him. It's what makes – I mean, the AFC playoffs would be fascinating. But to your point, B, the Bengals are 0-3. They don't need to worry about the Super Bowl. They got to worry about getting a win.
There you go.
All right. I'm going to just read this. Number 3. Fact or fiction, Jaden Daniels is the 2024 version of 2023 C.J. Stroud. Is it fair to compare a rookie quarterback after 3 starts to one of the most epic rookie seasons we've ever seen? No, not particularly, yet here we are. If we're going there, let's go there. For me, this is a fact. It's not just that Daniels has shown a Stroud-like ability to raise the play of everyone around him, including a still questionable offensive line. It's not that he drops dimes and avoids turnovers like Stroud. It's the calmness. In the biggest moments, there is no flinching. Ice meet veins. It's an unteachable quality.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to agree with the latter part there, the calm, the poise, and that is unteachable. That is completely unteachable. I think
– can we just say he's the best – he's the 2024 version of Jaden Daniels? Why do we have to always – compare when it comes down to the quarterbacks? Because C.J. Stroud is not – he's a damn good quarterback, but he does not play the game like Jaden does.
Stroud's not nearly the runner, Jaden.
No, he's not a runner at all. Yeah. So that's all. He can get out the pocket and go get some yards. But Jaden is a pocket passer with remarkable running ability.
Yeah.
Let him be him. Like, Lamar is an unbelievable runner who seems to not have a lot of success when he's in the pocket, when you make him stay in the pocket.
Right.
Robert was an unbelievable runner that wanted to refuse to run when it was his best asset. So
you seen all the Robert stuff going around right now? So Mike Silver went on Pardon My Take, PFT's podcast, mm-hmm. and told these old stories of Shanahan and everything. It's remarkable how salacious that stuff still is 12 years later. Like, every story that Silver told, we knew, right? Like,
yeah.
After the Cleveland game, that'll be awesome. So Mike Silver's going to join us on Tuesday. I am far more interested in, like, the Dennis Rodman stories he's told. I just think, like, maybe for a national audience, like that podcast, the Mike Shanahan, Dan Snyder stuff still resonates. I just feel like we know it all. And
we know it all, but that's the whole thing of bias. See, we get so selfish in a sense where we covered it. We were there.
We lived it.
You know how many other people in the world don't know what happened that want to hear it?
Sure. To your point about Stroud and Daniels, last year in his super impressive rookie season, C.J. Stroud, I believe, set new records for touchdown. No, Herbert had that touchdown record. But Stroud, in 15 starts, they went 9-6, completed 64% of his passes, 23 touchdowns against only 5 picks, averaged 275 a game through the air. Obviously, Stroud was super impressive. But here's the difference, B, to your point.
Mm-hmm.
Stroud, for the season, in 15 games, ran 39 times for 167 yards with 3 touchdowns.
Okay.
That's 11 yards a game.
Right.
Jaden, for the season, in 3 games, has 38 carries for 171 and 3 touchdowns.
That's why I think
it's they're different players.
They're different players, and sometimes the comparisons are worthless. I mean, you got to sometimes somebody deserves their own mindset, own
right.
mantle,
right.
instead of saying, "Oh, you're like that guy." No, no, no. I am who I am. I'm not that guy.
When we return, Bleep You Thursday, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Phones are open, baby. Let's go. I was with her. I'd still be with her.
That's some.
B. Bishop Finley, 1067, the fan. It is high noon in the District of Columbia, 9 a.m. in Arizona, and the sun is up. You know what's interesting out here, B, is that the sun, like, when it sets, it's just dark.
Yeah.
You know how, like, at home, like, the sun sets and it's still light out, and you, like, get, like, these pretty. It's just dark out here.
Oh, it's dark as hell.
It changes quick, man. I guess people are mad at me. It is Bleep You Thursday.
Why are they mad at you?
I don't know, B. I don't know. I got some dude in the chat yelling the chickens are coming home to roost to me. I don't know what that
means. About what?
I don't know. But I'm going to start. I don't know why. We are Deborah, that's always in the chat.
Uh-huh.
Seems like a very nice woman.
Yep.
I'm a big fan. But she's mad at me for something. We'll start there. Bleep You Thursday. Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. Deborah from the chat is mad. Hello, Deborah. Who has wronged you?
JP, you've wronged me.
How?
The other day, you put all of our business out on the street. I thought what happens in the chat stays in the chat.
Well, that's in the street.
I mean, the chat. A, what is your business that I put in the street? But B, like, the chat is kind of the chat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you told everybody on the air about what was going on in the chat.
Well, that's what he does on a
what is going
basis.
On in the chat? I don't understand.
Y'all
were like flirting, and he was just, you know, seeing what was going on.
I wasn't.
Well, Seymour Butts was flirting with you.
Okay, well.
But Deborah,
JP didn't have to tell everybody.
Deborah, can I tell you something? You calling in to say bleep you to me about the thing from 2 days ago that everybody forgot is only rehashing this issue.
Well, if I don't give you a hard time, JP, who will?
Oh, the man. Whole world. Everyone constantly. Deb, but thank you for calling. Thank you
appreciate
for listening.
Appreciate you for calling.
Dude, you should see what the chat's doing now. I won't say it.
What are they doing?
Look at this one.
Oh!
Robbie in the chat says, got to bleep Vegas this week. Three-leg parlay for Monday didn't hit solely because of the Jaden Daniels kneel to end the game that dropped his rushing yards under 40. That's a tough
How
L,
that
man.
On Vegas, though?
Yeah, that's a tough L, but here's the thing. There's a reason they want you to put parlays in. They're really, really hard to hit. I'm aware of that from last night. I think my parlay went 0-2. Let's go to G-Men in Landover. What's up, G-Men? G-Man?
What's
Hello?
Up, JP? What's up, boys? What's up?
What's up,
How you
brother?
Doing, dude?
Yeah, man. So this weekend, my birthday, man.
Happy birthday.
I
want
to bleep the state of Florida. Thank you.
State of Florida?
So my lady
Why?
Had, man, my lady had planned a little nice getaway, man. My brother, my father-in-law lived down there. We were supposed to go to the Eagles game. And everything got canceled due to the hurricane coming. And she told me last night, so I'm pretty bummed out, man.
Don't blame Florida. You better, hey, man, that's
listen,
Florida
I'm sorry.
Saving you.
So bleep the hurricane coming.
Bleep the hurricane.
It's always something down there in Florida, man.
Well, dude, this time of year is hurricane season. But, yo, seriously, I know a bunch of folks that are going to be in the path of that thing. Is it Helene, I think? Yeah. And I know we got listeners down in Florida. Try to be careful down there, man. Yep. That thing is no joke.
I know my daughter's
now,
boy,
we ain't going no
North
more.
Carolina right now.
The trip got canceled.
I know. I'm talking about other people, G, but thank you for the call. I appreciate it, man.
G said he worried about him. He worried about nobody else. To hell with everybody else.
Here's what I can tell you. If you're ever looking to book a vacation and you see a sweetheart deal to Florida or the Caribbean in September or October, buy the insurance, man. Because there's a reason it gets real cheap for like a 3-week stretch down there because those storms are brewing.
Those storms are coming.
I think it's only fair. Landfill or Jeff, should just, you know, coincidentally, do either of the boys in the aquarium have a bleep you this week?
Yes, I do.
Oh, hey, Jeff. Wow. What's up, bud?
Okay, so first, my bleep you. Actually,
okay, so.
All of my bleep yous are going to J.P. Finley.
Dude, when did this become just like a roast segment?
First, bleep you, J.P. Finley, for starting that rumor that I wanted to get Terry McLaurin traded, and now you got people like Tailgate Ted taking pictures and editing I Love Ravens on my shirt. Bleep you for that. Two.
Yo, hold on. Not done. I'm going to let you keep going, but let's address this topic.
You are a fan of the Ravens, aren't you?
Well, that's one. Two, you're the one that brought it up. B and I had never even heard that was a theory.
That's not
and
true.
You brought
that's
it up
true.
On the
that's
show.
That's not true.
That is true.
I have the audio, and I will gladly pull it. B, when I said that's the talk around, B even said, oh, yeah, they is talking about that.
I heard some people talking about it.
So okay. Bleep you
I
for
had
that.
Not heard of that.
Two, bleep you for not taking us last Friday. You betted it. You said that the Commanders would not win the game. And the reason why I'm saying bleep you for that is because after you said that the Commanders would lose the game, you then decided to go on national TV with Cowboys colors on.
Oh, you did that, JP.
And we all know you're not beating them.
Brown jacket.
No. You had on blue and gray and silver.
And gray.
You got to stop with this.
You had Chico Hernandez.
Yep.
They were playing the Bengals. What the hell are you talking about?
You don't wear no Cowboys colors during football season.
I'm not allowed to wear blue, Jeff.
Blue, white, and silver. No. No, you're not.
Not together.
Not together.
To call that Cowboys colors is asinine.
No, it's not. Especially when you already had a star hat. You're voting. You're going against the Commanders. You're not beating them allegations, JP. So bleep you.
All right, Jeff. Jeff, I appreciate you being at work. It's a short show. Hopefully, you can make it the whole time. And Landfill, you sir, the Cowboys stuff drives me crazy, and I know you guys are doing it because you know it drives me crazy. That is, I want to curse because that is so bleeping stupid.
But you do have the colors on, Jay.
B.
It's when I saw you, that's the first thing I
that
thought.
That coat right there, you thought of the Cowboys? It's brown.
No, it got blue and like silver in that thing. That looked great. On TV, it looks great. And Chick had like the same colors.
Chick does that on purpose every week. He likes to wear the opposing team's colors. How is that? They were playing the Bengals. Their colors are orange and black.
I didn't say you wore the opposing team color. We say you wore Cowboy color.
You just said opposing team.
No, I didn't say you said opposing twice.
Oh, you guys drive me nuts. Jamar is in Fairfax.
Jamar, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man? Good.
Hey, I called in earlier this year. My boy, it was also Bleakview Thursday. Oh, no, it was actually Mitch Anything. He was talking trash about Biotis. He's a Cowboys fan. Man, let me just say, first off, he was sick on Monday. We got a group chat, and he just fell all the way out of it by halftime. But anyways, he's a huge Cowboys fan. I just been getting a lot of encouragement. I've been feeling real good, inspirational by you guys calling them badass. By DQ calling them badass this morning as well. So I just wanted to bleep you to all Cowboys Nation out there. And yeah, Tyler Badass is truly a badass.
I like brother. That. Thank that. Thank you.
Cowboys Giants tonight.
Oh yeah.
That should be a good one, man.
Who am I pulling for?
Who do you think needs to win more?
I told you the Cowboys. Yesterday I told you the Cowboys. Because Cowboys are the ones with the aspirations. The Giants have no playoff aspirations. Not going into this season.
They might think they do, but we don't think they do.
I don't think they do.
bleep you to landfill for the tweet from B. Mitch and Finley.
What did he tweet it?
Hold on. Why do you say bleep you to me?
Well, who sent it? You or Jeff?
I don't know who runs that account.
I'm sure you don't. Maybe it's Cody. Cody, don't you have a job? phone lines are open.
I think Cody has a job. I think.
800-636-1067. Patrick is in Baltimore. Pat, what up, man?
What's up, guys? I got two of them. One is for people who still don't know how to drive and try and cause accidents daily. There's a special place in you know where for them. And the second one is for parents who don't parent their children and just let them act crazy all the time. It's just annoying, and I feel like it's a never-ending. It never stops. It's annoying as hell.
I'm with you there. It's having young kids and, like, trying to make it in the world is difficult. I think sometimes you got to recognize that kids are kids and they're going to be a little crazy, but then there are the folks that just
– kids are bad. No. The parents of the bad kids are the ones that need to be blamed, though.
You also got to watch your kids. Like, there are people that if you go to a restaurant or the pool or something, they're like, all right, do what you want. And then they just go off and do their own thing.
Nah.
That drives me crazy.
Like, to be honest with you, they do that because they want you to do something.
100%.
You'll be trying to save their kid, and they'll be trying to sue you.
It's interesting
out there. I see kids running around and be like, yo, watch your kid.
Right.
Hey, JP, Scarence Terrence McLarence has weighed in on Twitter, and he, in fact, does think you're wearing Cowboys colors.
You're a bunch of idiots. Scarence Terrence McLarence, I mean.
Scarence Terrence.
What kind of name is that?
That's a great name.
it's just so many idiots. Cody's on the line? Is Cody the one stirring all this S? Cody, don't you have a job?
No.
Hey, whoa, calm down, JP. You're the one wearing Cowboys colors.
I'm glad you guys are having so much fun.
Hey, I do have a question. I don't like stirring the pot, but is it a coincidence that the alumni are getting involved and the Commanders are winning?
Brian?
Cody, so. I would just say this. The alumni always wanted to be involved, but there were some idiots that would not allow it. But now,
that guy a couple years ago, he was right. It was alumni's fault.
No, I think that guy was an idiot because he truly believed that. He truly believed that ish. So he was an idiot.
Here's Cody. All I'm saying. Beamage, you did that show. You and Santana did that show last year, but you didn't go to the games. Now you're going to the games and they're winning.
We went to every game last year.
No, I don't think you started till like a month in.
No, we went to every game.
All right. No, because you weren't in Denver.
We missed
them. And
Denver,
they won that game.
And when we started going, they kept losing. So what y'all going to try to say now?
I don't know. Investigate. investigate.
Y'all full of crapola.
They are full of crap. How on earth is that Cowboys colors? I'm wearing a brown jacket.
That's not brown, Jay. That thing is not brown.
What color do you think that is?
That's a gray, a taupey gray.
It is not Dallas at all. And if I'm not allowed to wear a blue tie, someone's got to buy me a whole lot of new ties.
Blue
kind of just goes with everything.
No, you don't.
You know what's funny? Go get a picture. I didn't even think about this. Go look at what I have for Sunday.
I saw that. Yeah. So, hey.
I wear gray and blue. That's like what I wear because it's simple.
It's your favorite colors.
You guys are idiots, man. Just idiots.
And then you're trying to make us seem like our eyes are messed up saying that's a brown jacket.
That jacket is brown. Now, what B's about to roast me with now is straight up gray and blue. Like, I'll own it when it is gray and blue. Just that isn't. It's brown.
Maybe I need to see this jacket in person, bro, because on this picture.
B has it in his hands right now.
This is a charcoal gray. It's not brown, dude.
Maybe I'm colorblind.
Right here, this is gray for sure.
Talking to the microphone.
The lighter color right here is gray, Jay. Look.
Well, you'll have to watch Sunday because Sunday's outfit is definitively blue and gray. There's no debate about that. They're also playing a team that wears red, so it's irrelevant. Maybe Jera can solve this riddle. Jera, hello. How do you do, sir?
How do you think I do right now? What kind of a dumbass question is that? I'm pissed.
You got a big game tonight, man. You got a big game tonight.
What do you think I feel? First of all, blank you to my damn defense. Blank you to my defensive coordinator. And blank you to the damn dumbass that hired. Oh, that's me. Never mind. Hey, listen, all I got to say is this. If stuff doesn't change, there's going to be some hell to pay. Hey, listen, y'all. Nah, I was going to say have a good day. Blank all y'all. And you know what, Jeff Finley? Quit getting on there trying to defend what colors you're wearing. If you're wearing something that looks like America's team, well, God bless America, you look good. I got to go, y'all. Kiss my damn ass.
Jared's fired up. Hey.
Greg said your umbrella was blue, too.
Kerwin got the umbrella as a target. Like, if we have to strike blue from the record, there's going to be a whole lot.
You could buy a black umbrella.
I didn't buy the umbrella. Target I had no Dallas? Plan for the rain.
Target in Dallas?
That was Target in Cincinnati, you bunch of idiots.
Dallas North.
Hey, look, everything I saw in Cincinnati people wore was black and orange.
Let CK know that I quit. Just let him know. I can send in a retirement email. Drew is on line three. Hello, Drew. Oh, how do you do?
Hey, JP. Hey, we may be piling on a little bit, too. You know, we love the show and the Commanders coverage, but we got a little bit of a bleak view because this weekend has the biggest college football game of the season. And instead of hearing anything about that, we got to hear about some kind of crazy hotel room. So,
you're right. You're right. Roll Tide. Georgia-Bama this weekend in Tuscaloosa, B. Who do you like?
Georgia.
It's the first time Bama's been a home dog in a long time.
I said Georgia. He hit it.
It's probably on delay. Drew's headed down there.
You kill us. We're gonna get this, B. Mitch.
All right, I got you.
My mom. All right, Drew. We got to hang up on Drew because all I can hear is feedback from his car. Thank you for calling, Drew. My mom just texted me. Keep defending yourself, JP. They're being really hard on you, but it is hysterical.
There you go, mommy. Get him. Your mama like when you get talked about. She know how you are. God. You do it to everybody.
Oh, God.
Daily.
I do what daily?
Mess with
try
Jeff.
To be a nice guy and mess keep with it Jeff. Moving.
You wreck the Cowboys daily.
Yep, you sure do.
I mean, there's literally not a team on the planet that I hate more. Maybe Duke.
It's all right. There's a lot of Cowboys fans from the area.
It could be Duke color you wore with that blue tie last week.
Like... The tie I have this week, I brought on purpose because it's hot as hell out here, and it has little snowflakes on it. But it happens to be blue.
Let me ask you a question, though. You showing me that brain is not really working. A tie, as hot as it is, you should have brought no tie this week.
Maybe I won't.
To be honest with you.
You know who gives me a hard time? I need Doc Walker on the line. Lanville, see if you can track down Doc. I don't know if he's on with Russell.
Give you a hard time for what?
Doc is the one that always compliments how I look on television. Okay, because well, I dress nice.
Well, Russell doesn't start till 2, bro.
I'm just going to tell you, bro, when when it's 109 degrees, you take off more clothes.
We're
you don't
be
put on
inside,
more.
B. It'll be nice and cool in the State Farm Stadium, whatever it's called.
Hey, man, it's a sports event. Relax sometimes. To hell with all that.
No, I will continue to wear nice clothing. And if you idiots think it has anything to do with a football team, you are incorrect.
We know you're undercover. That's all. That's good.
You're out of your mind. Bama, Georgia this weekend. Plus, some news that I think Lamphill's really going to like when we return.